If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Hey, sweetie, your mother showed me this Carvana thing for selling the car. I'm going to give it a try. Wish me luck. Me again. I put in the license plate. It gave me an offer. Unbelievable. Okay, I accepted the offer. They're picking it up Tuesday from the driveway. I haven't even left my chair. It's done. The car is gone. I'm holding a check. Anyway, Carvana, give it a whirl. Love ya.
So good, you'll want to leave a voicemail about it. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to Misunderstood. Today, we are chatting with Casey Rose, the talented author behind the buzzworthy book, You Deserve Good Gelato. Casey's become known for her inspiring take on self-love, positivity, and finding joy in life's simple pleasures. But here's the twist. She's an American who packed her bags, went to Italy, and ended up moving there after searching for something completely different in her life. Her adventures in Italy and passion for the culture inspired the book, You Deserve Good Gelato, a book about savoring life's sweetest moments, literally and metaphorically, embracing self-kindness and finding everyday happiness. We're going to dive into Casey's journey to Italy, her path as a writer, and how she's helping people around the world discover a little more sweetness in their lives. She has amassed hundreds of thousands of followers who are going on this journey with her and now are getting ready for her impending nuptials. Sit back and enjoy my inspiring and delightful chat with Casey Rose. Casey, all the way from Italy. I'm so happy that you're joining me today. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. So I know you've been on this big book tour. Where have you gone so far? And is it over already?
You know what? I don't even know where I am right now. We started in New York and then we did DC. Oh my gosh. Michigan, Minneapolis, Chicago, Seattle, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Austin, Dallas, Boston, and ended back in Grand Rapids and then Toronto. And then I had a Florence event yesterday. So it's been a whirlwind couple of weeks.
Wow, that is amazing. Awesome. Could you ever imagine a couple of years ago that you would be doing this?
No. Oh my gosh. You told me 5 years ago, Oh my gosh. I would have think that you were crazy. It's awesome.
And the other amazing thing is that you were on Kelly Clarkson recently.
Yes.
Did you almost die? Wait, could you please tell everybody how you kind of manifested that into being? Because I think that's such a great story.
Thanks. Yeah. So I get comments all the time saying that we look alike in certain light, which like biggest compliment ever, truly. But I was like low key obsessed with her when I was younger. She was my first concert. Like I loved her. And she was the reason why I decided to become a performer in New York, because I watched her at such a young age and, you know, obviously was, you know, impressed. And so I finally put out a video because I got so many comments about it, and I addressed it and I said, this message is for Kelly Clarkson. People tell you that we look alike. I wrote a book. If you're looking for a young female author to be on your show, I'd love to be there, or I could just be there in any way possible. Just be in your aura of awesomeness. I would love to be there. Yeah. I volunteer as tribute, basically just putting it out there, shooting my shot. And lo and behold, 2 weeks later, got the call, which was crazy.
Wait, how did you get the call? You just randomly got a call from what production?
So apparently the way that it had gotten to her in a couple different ways, but the way that it was the main way it got to her was so random. Get this. My high school AP psychology teacher, her niece works on the Kelly Clarkson show. Can you believe? Works on the Kelly Clarkson show. She saw my story, sent it to her. Apparently she followed me and it got to one of the producers. And we had a phone call. Literally just me and the producer, just kind of sussing out like my story and things like that. And then what I had to do was send in basically like an intro video to Kelly to watch. And then that probably like a week and a half went by and got like an availability check. I was like, I will fly anywhere in the world for Kelly Clarkson. And then they booked me on, which was crazy. So that happened.
A great way, what a great way to promote your book. Congratulations. That's awesome. Amazing. You can't get better than that. So we get into the details of the book, I mean, even though the details are what I'm going to ask you about your memoir in general, like how did you get to be a girl from America living in Italy? Let's talk about where you were a couple of years ago before this whole thing started.
Yeah. So 5 years ago, I was working as a professional dancer in New York City. That was my track. That's what I was going to do. That was my vision and what I was always going to be. Obviously, that did not work out. But I had gotten to a point where, you know, I had been lucky to work professionally, but I was a little just feeling stuck and lost and defeated by the industry because it's a really tough industry to be in. And I got into that point. People had always, you know, I had always like wanted to go to Italy. I don't know why. I'm like 2% Italian. Like I have no idea why. But long story short, I ended up booking a solo trip to Italy. On that solo trip, I met my partner, Dario. We did a year of long distance, and then he came to live with me in New York for a year. And then in January 2021, we made the move back to Italy together. And here we are 3 years later. We came on a 6-month trial basis, and here we are 3 years later.
Amazing. So what I think is so interesting about this story, though, is that you are in a place in your life, you had had a million odd jobs. You had done everything. You had tried everything. And you talk about kind of waiting to find, you know, what was going to happen next, or like getting this big break, or, and you always put off traveling because you had no one to travel with, or you weren't dating someone, or, you know, and I love the concept of finally saying, okay, I am going to make my own decisions and I'm going to see where life leads. So can you just talk about that a little bit? Because I think so many people feel stuck and might not even realize that they're stuck and they just feel kind of depressed or they're going through their day. And, you know, I want to get into like those challenges of getting the courage to make a different path for yourself because of how hard that is and scary.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my gosh. And I had gotten to that point of just feeling stuck and unhappy and like knowing that there was something else out there that I wanted to do, but just not knowing what that was, let's say. And one night I was, you know, I had always said that I wanted to go to Italy, right? And I found myself saying that I would wait until, like you said, I would wait until I had a friend to go with. I would wait until I had a group of girls, till I had a partner, till I had more money, like this excuse, that excuse. And I found that I was doing that for years. And I was waiting for years and years and years, making excuse after excuse, when really the only thing that was stopping me was my own fear, right? Mm-hmm. And I got to a point, it was like 2 a.m. I was laying wide awake. And I had this just like, call it a smack in the head moment, call it divine intervention, call it what you want. But it was one of those moments where it was like, you can just go on your own. And you know, when you have those moments and you just can't like ignore it anymore. That was that moment for me. And of course it was one of the scariest things ever, right? Like I had never solo traveled before, but something that I thought about and something that continues to help me when I'm faced with like a scary thing is the idea of being on my deathbed and regretting not doing something just because I'm too scared to do it. Like that to me is 10 times scarier than just doing the actual scary thing. Right. And it's not good enough for me, and it shouldn't be good enough for anybody. So it sounds morbid, but that's really the realization that it came to, was that we have an expiration date and we have to take advantage of the time that we have here.
So how long did you plan to go to Italy for when you went?
Oh, I really did not know what I was doing. Honestly, I never really traveled before. So I blindly planned 3 days. At first, it was 3 days in Venice, 2 days in Florence, 4 days in Rome. That ended up changing to be 2 days in Venice, 3 days in Florence, 4 days in Rome. And then I ended up adding on another 4 days in Paris. So all in all, it was like a 13-day vacation, which, like you said, I had every odd job in New York that one could have in New York. And I did that for 8 months to plan and prepare for that trip.
Oh, all of a sudden, wow. I was That's playing amazing. The world traveler. You mean to make that kind of money to be able to do it, you mean?
Yeah, because, I was a performer in New York. And between dance jobs, I was working as, you know, like every artist in New York is working as a dog walker, as a nanny, as a caterer, as a waitress. Like, you name it, I did the weirdest jobs that I can think of in New York City.
But that makes you who you are. I love that. So, you know, I've done a lot of solo trips. I actually think they're really important. I don't know if you've ever heard of Backroads. Have you heard of the biking company? It's so great. So in my 20s, I would say, I probably did maybe in my 30s too, before I had my daughter, I did maybe 5 or 6 solo trips, and they were all life-changing for me. I always felt like, you know, people would think that it was kind of crazy. And I would always kind of go during some weird thing in my life, like a breakup or, you know, in between jobs and feeling like I was lonely in the moment I was in. So I wanted to go find something. So there was something that had to motivate me to go. But I went to Prague. Yeah. I went to Morocco. I went to Turkey. I went to Brazil. I went to Chiang Mai in Thailand. So I did all these random solo trips.
Oh my gosh.
And it's something that I love that I could look back on and tell people about. And when you realize you are your own common denominator and you better like yourself and you better be resourceful enough to figure it out, your whole life can change because you're not dependent on someone else. And I always tell my daughter, who's like 12, I'm like, it's so important. My favorite quality in a person is someone who's resourceful. And so, I learned that by traveling alone. So I think it's really brave. But to get back to you. Sorry, I digress.
No, literally, I could talk about it for hours. Like, truly, I completely understand everything that you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. So I love that you could just plan basically a 13-day trip, which ended up changing the course of your life, though. So how did you meet your current, he's your fiance, right?
Yeah. Now he's my fiance. Yeah. Which is crazy to hear. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny. There were so many butterfly effect events in motion that I did not realize were butterfly effect events that the universe was kind of planting before, you know, now I can look back on it. But basically what happened is, like I said, I planned those 3 days in Venice, 2 days in Florence, 4 days in Rome. And that's like, I was like, sure, that. And a couple months before my trip, I was working at Lululemon in New York City, one of my jobs. And this woman came into my work, and I never saw her before. I never saw her again. We got to talking. It was a weird, quiet night at the store. And it turns out she had lived in Florence for like 5 years or something like that. And she had just gotten back. And I was like, oh, I just booked a trip. And we start talking and she was like, don't stay in Venice for 3 days. She's like, stay in Florence, add like take a day off at the end of your Venice trip, add it to the beginning of Florence. I was also thinking about staying in Pisa. She's like, don't do that. Stay in Florence. And I don't know why I trusted this lady, but I was like, yeah, sure. So I did. I went home and I changed all my reservations based on what a stranger in the middle of Lululemon in New York City told me to do. And it turns out she was, you know, I credit her for so much because on that first day in Florence that I wasn't originally supposed to be there, I went to a jazz club, really cool space in Florence. It's called, literally, it's called Jazz Club Firenze. It's like this underground spot in the city center. A friend had told me about and went there, walked in. So I was like, I'll stay for one drink and suss it out and see like how it is. And if I hate it, I'll go home. It was one of my like scary things that I was trying to do. It's like, get out there more. And yeah. Dario was there and he was like, I walked in, he was sitting like kitty corner. There was chairs there. He caught my eye and I caught his, but I was like, I'm just going to take it back like easy in the back here. And he ended up coming over and he said, ciao. I said, ciao. I said, that's all the Italian I got for you. And he said, that's okay. We can speak in English. And then the rest was history.
Did he speak English well?
Yeah, he does. And he speaks better now that we've been dating for so long. But yeah, he came in with much more proficient English skills than I did in Italian.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. Forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Have you listened to the podcast Uncomfy, sticking with moments that challenge us? Real stories from guests who dared to get uncomfortable in a moment that challenged their worldview. In the thick of intense emotions, they chose to stay curious and open rather than lash out or shy away, and came out the other side with stronger relationships, clearer beliefs, and increased confidence. And you can do it too. Part real life stories, part conflict coaching, and self-improvement. So if you want to engage with others on important topics but aren't sure how, or are burnt out on social media and wish you could bring the humanity back into discussions online or real life, look no further. Learn how to improve your communication, disagree more productively, and be an inspired leader. In such a polarized world, learning how to stick with moments that challenge us without getting defensive or shutting down is a direct antidote for division. When you listen to this podcast, you will hear how others are healing their communities, families, and neighborhoods, learning to talk about what matters to them, working to view others as human so we can build a better world together. Each episode models the mental health principles of MBSR, that's mindfulness-based stress reduction, non-judging, patience, beginner's mind, trust, non-striving, acceptance, letting go. Recent stories include disrespected at the pool, she decided to confront the culprits, when one word threatened a work partnership, as a kid in Iran, she was taught to hate Jews, then she defended one in court, He thought his comment was harmless. Then he got written up. If you're interested in any of this, take a listen to Uncomfy, Sticking with Moments That Challenge Us, a podcast.
So I'm always curious about people going on trips like this. Did you get like Babbel or any of those things where you tried to learn Italian before you went?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I had used, what was I using at that time? I think I was using Duolingo. It was like, what, 10 years? No, how long ago was that? It was Duolingo, I think. But, you know, the thing with that was I really only learned how to say the boy eats the apple.
Right, of course.
I am a woman. You know, I was like, io sono una donna, in case anybody was confused. Like, you know, so really my limits was like ciao and grazie. And that's pretty much was my limits at that point.
And now
luckily we've grown, but
yeah. How is your Italian now?
Yeah, I'm holding my own. I can speak conversationally. I'm doing much better. It's different. It's difficult because Dario and I, we speak in English with each other because we met in English, and it's really hard to change the language. And you know, like when you speak a different language, your voice changes. Mm-hmm. And so when he speaks Italian, his voice drops and I get all giddy. I'm like, oh my God, like who are, I can't do it. Like it's so mm-hmm. bizarre. But we're getting better. We're getting better.
Okay, so talk about your trip just for a minute. Like the fact that you did what you did, you met this guy. And then how did it come to you coming home and realizing that this was going to be more than just a short trip in your life and put it behind you?
It, you know, for somebody that is very much like I am type A and I like, you know, I like to organize. And it was really a case of just like, we'll see what happens and like trusting in the process, shall we say. And so we spent those 3 days in Florence together. And I had jokingly said to him, I was like, you know, if you ever want to come to New York City, like you have a place to stay, LOL, please come type of situation.
And but wait, were you guys like back. Head over heels, fully in love? Like, oh my God, I don't want to leave. Or were you like, this is just a fun fling while I'm here?
I cried. No, I cried on the train because he walked me to the train station because I was going to Rome and he walked me to the train station and like, oh my God, Rachel, it literally was like something I look back. And I'm like, what a freaking like cheesy movie plot, because it was like I was on the train and he was standing on the platform and the train was pulling away. And like I was crying, like watching his figure get deeper. I think back and I'm like, how freaking dramatic were we? Because I was so sad to leave him. And my sweet best friend, my lovely, wonderful best friend, she was trying to help because I had texted her being like, you know, I left this guy and I'm so sad. Like, I'm never going to see him again. Like, I left my future husband. I'm never going to see him again. And she was trying to be so supportive. And she was like, she's like, don't worry. She's like, you're going to Rome next. She's like, you'll find a gladiator. It's okay. Uh-huh. Luckily, like, you know, like, I was like, no. But we ended up talking like every single day. We talked every single day, FaceTimed. And then when I got back to New York a week later, about a week and a half later, I jokingly said, if you ever want to come to New York, you have a place to stay. And he said, how's December 8th? And I said, it's wonderful. And he sent me a plane ticket. And you bought. Oh my God. So yeah, that's.
Wait, so and later. How long after that was, like, how long did you have to wait to see him? When did you come home?
A month. It was a month. I came home October 17th, I think it was. October 17th. And so it was just over a month. And then he ended up coming back. He loved New York on that trip and came back a month later for 2 weeks to try and find a job. And yeah, and that was the trip when he came back the second time where we both were like, okay, this is something more bigger than, this is something more. This is, you know. And it was funny. We never had that moment of like, because so many people, I think, ask me all the time, like, did you ever have a moment of just like, we're doing this? And it wasn't ever a question. Like, it was always just like, well, yeah, like, duh, like we both feel it. Of course, it's not a question. Yeah. And that's all the ooey gooey lovey.
I'm so excited for you. So now what are the details? First of all, how did he propose to you?
Yeah. So it's funny because we dated for, we've been dating for 6 years now. And in the US, what I came to find out, one of the many like different Italian, like between Italian culture and American culture, is that American culture, we're used to like dating fast and then getting married like after a year or 2 years. It's very normal. In Italy and a lot of Europe, it's very normal to date for like 5-10 years before even like the thought of marriage enters the chat, right? Mm-hmm. And so we always knew like 2024 would be the year we got engaged, but I didn't know this day was happening. He basically brought me up to Lake Como on a trip, a weekend trip. We did a motorcycle trip from Florence to Lake Como. And he had wanted to bring me to this scenic spot overlooking the lake because I had said, I don't want there to be a single freaking soul. I want there to be no one around whenever you decide to propose. And we had already talked rings at that point. So I knew he had bought one. Anyway, and so day one happens, it rains, can't do it. Day two happens, it rains again, can't do it. God. So the day that we're coming back to Florence, not raining, I wake up feeling so sick. I am fatigued. I have a headache. I was like, get me home. Mm. But he was like, I really want to fly my drone. Do you mind? And I was like, sure. Like, that's not a problem. Let's go up. And so we did. And got up there, ended at the scenic spot. He brings out his drone. He starts flying it. And I didn't realize that he was setting up the drone to film. And so he comes over and he's saying all these cute things. I'm out of it. So I did not realize what was happening. But I looked over. I saw the drone was filming us. And then he said something along the lines of like, I hope it's okay. There's a horse here because there was a horse in the field nearby. And I had said I didn't want anything there. Right. And then he was down. So yeah, that's how it happened.
Oh my God. I love it.
Yeah.
First of all, what was the process like of writing an actual book? I am in the middle of writing my memoir. I know how hard it is. What made you decide to put this down on paper?
Yeah. Well, okay, first off, writing a book, I had no idea how hard it is. So I applaud you. I know exactly what you're feeling right now because it is hard.
And you have so much in your head that you want to get out.
Yes.
But it's like you have to start because you don't know in what voice to tell it. You don't know how
exactly
what stories are good to tell. You don't know how to do the arc of it, if you should look backwards or go forward. You know, I totally get that.
Yeah. It literally, like, I had no idea. But it, you know, I have to say my publishing team was wonderful in that aspect. We hired a wonderful woman named Julia for to be my editor, like kind of my point of contact when it came to actually editing things. And how it kind of all happened was I had never thought about writing a book. And I eventually got, you know, an email from a woman named Lucy, and she was so lovely. And she kind of put the idea in my head and encouraged me to do it. And then I had a meeting with the whole team. Mm-hmm. At DK. And they point blank asked me, they were like, how do you feel about writing a book? And I said, it scares the shit out of me, which probably means I should do it. Kind of following in that, you know, in that same mindset. So I signed contracts, began writing in May 2023, and turned in the final draft in October 2023. So it was a really quick process.
Really quick.
Really quick. Yeah, I didn't realize. But basically from there was, we started to create, I wrote down, because we knew we wanted the book to be about like culture differences and just taking the leap and like, you know, stories obviously of like an immigrant abroad, but like just, you know, encapsulating all three of these things throughout the chapters. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote down a Google Doc of every single culture shock, culture difference, like story, emotion I wanted to convey. Like it was such a jumbled freaking word vomit. I don't know how they made sense of it, but I wrote down, it was like a 6-page long bullet point document. And from there, we started to organize each of the bullet points that were similar to each other and put them into categories, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
Then translated into what's the topic of this chapter. Like, for example, failure. Like, mm-hmm. what can we include in a chapter about failure and how failure is actually one of the best things that can happen to you? A natural fit for that was learning a language. And then from there, we created an outline of like, what's the topic? Here are the bullet points to talk about. Here's the scary thing. And here's the lesson learned from it. And we did that for every single chapter.
Yeah.
And it took a long time to do that. And I found when it came to writing the actual book, I don't know if you've tried this yet. Movement for me was really, really helpful. Like I would get on the treadmill and walk for like 2 freaking hours. writing on the on my notes pad in my iPhone. I wrote like full chapters in my notes. And I think it's because moving, it took my mind off of the fact of just like sitting there and typing. Like it kept my mind away from like thinking about it too much. So I wrote a lot of the chapters on the treadmill because it just helped me.
That's really impressive.
Yeah. You should try it. Yeah, you should try it.
Okay, I have the book in front of me. People, you have to get this book. It's called You Deserve Good Gelato, Reasons to Travel the World, Embrace Failure, and Do the Shit That Scares You. I love it. I love these quotes you have in here, like you were talking about. I'm going to read some of them. Failure, despite its bad reputation, is precisely what allows you to learn and grow and adapt and change. Love that. Mm-hmm. Finding comfort in the uncomfortable is one of the most necessary things to help us grow as humans. I think you have so many good like points in here. The themes that I got out of it was obviously the culture appreciation, the culture differences, but the pursuit of passion. For me, that was like a big one where I just love the idea of doing what, you know, doing what you can, being okay to fail. That's where you kind of grow and learn. What would you say are the biggest takeaways from the book for people?
Yeah. Well, for me, it's a travel book that will encourage you to, you know, see the world, embrace new cultures, meet new people, and expand your mind in that way, because traveling in general is one of the best ways and one of the best ways to just do that. Mm-hmm. But it's also a book about empowerment and reminding people that they're so much more capable than they think they are, and to take the leap, because again, we only have so much time here and we have to take advantage of it.
Right. And you are a living representative of that. So I'm so proud of you. Do you have any plans in the future now that you're an author? You know, what's next for you on your bucket list?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. Can I say that? I don't know.
Yeah, of course. I think that's actually a great answer. So many people feel the need to have an answer, but you don't have to.
No, I think it's one of those things, like I have always hated the question, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Like I hate that question because for me, like if you had told me 5 years ago that I'd be living in Italy creating content on social media, I would have thought you were insane. Like, you know, I was going to be a dancer on Broadway and that's it. And for me, like thinking ahead like that in that way, it blocks off so many other doors that are open that, you know, might be different from the path I had made for myself. Have you ever heard that quote? When you make a plan for your life, the universe laughs.
Yes, of course.
I love that quote.
I did too.
So yeah, I don't know what's next, but I kind of love that. It's exciting. Open.
So you're back in Italy. Do you have plans to be back in America again?
Yes. Well, actually next year, we have a wedding to go to, so I will be back in the US for that. But I also am thinking about just making another trip because we found that for me, and Dario and I talked about it a bunch, that it's really important that I try to make it back to the US at least once a year, but definitely twice. And yes, I was just in the US for a month, but I was moving around so much that I, you know, was moving around. I didn't really get time to soak in it.
Yeah.
So I think I might plan a trip back at the end of the year. We'll see if we can.
And did I see somewhere that you said you guys bought a house together in Italy?
Yes.
Right? Well, that's a huge project. That'll be a huge undertaking. That'll be fun.
Yeah, it will. It will. Yeah, she needs a lot of work. It's okay. It's going to be fine.
But it's like so like an under the Tuscan sun moment of like you changed your life, met a man, got a house and are going to, you know, renovate it. When do you guys have plans yet of when you're getting married?
Yeah, we're thinking like September, October 2026 is like the idea right now because next year I'm traveling a lot. And that way we have a lot of time before we even need to start thinking about wedding plans, even though I've been told that that's not a lot of time at all. So.
Yeah, well, for sure. Depending on what you want to do. And are you going to do it in Italy or are you going to do it in America?
Italy.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So do you, now that you feel like you've made this leap and you are now Italian, basically, because you live there, an American living in Italy. I love that. Do you see yourself that is where you're permanently going to reside or is you're feeling like you want to come back to America?
Good question. I don't ever want to say no, never. I'm going to go back to the US or we're never going to go back to the US because again, like I would have never thought we'd move to Italy, you know? But we're really happy with the life that we've made here. So I see ourselves here. I see our future here. I don't see us moving back to the US, but anything can happen, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah,
I love that.
Italy's
I'm so happy for you, and I cannot wait to see what happens. Tell people where they can find you. You have a huge presence on social media where people can follow your journey.
Yeah. So on TikTok, it's at KaseyRose4. On Instagram, it's at KaseyRose_. YouTube, it's at KaseyRose. And then my website is KaseyRoseTravel.com.
How do you say thank you and goodbye in Italian?
You can say grazie, ciao.
Grazie, ciao.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.